they are clutching their chest because they couldn't breathe, Stowe said. Burton was beginning to regain his composure now after the initial shock of the town. He was beginning to think clearly. They walked up to the van, standing in the middle of the street, its lights still shining weakly. Stone reached in to turn off the lights. He pushed the stiff body of the driver back from the wheel and read the name on the breast pocket of the parka. Sean.
Yeah.
Let's go find the satellite, Stone said. That's our first job. We can worry later about... He stopped. He was looking at the face of Sean, who had obviously pitched forward hard onto the steering wheel at the moment of death. There was a large, arc-shaped cut across his face, shattering the bridge of his nose and tearing the skin.
I don't get it.
Get what?
This injury. Look at it.
Very clean. Remarkably clean, in fact. Practically no bleeding.
Then Burton realized.
Broken capillaries, shattered bone, torn scalp veins. It should bleed like hell.
Yes, Stone said. It should. And look at the other bodies. Even where the vultures have chewed at the flesh, no bleeding. It was 15 minutes before they were able to locate the satellite on the outskirts of the town. They pulled up before a plain, single-story wood-frame house. A sign creaked in the wind. Dr. Alan Benedict.
Might have known, Stone said. They'd take it to the doctor.
The two men climbed out of the van and went up to the house. The front door was open, hanging in the breeze. They entered the living room and found it empty. Turning right, they came to the doctor's office. Benedict was there, a pudgy, white-haired man. He was seated before his desk, with several textbooks laid open. Along one wall were bottles, syringes, pictures of his family, and several others showing men in combat uniforms. And then they saw the satellite. It was upright, a sleek, polished cone 3 feet high, and its edges had been cracked and seared from the heat of re-entry. It had been opened crudely, apparently with the help of a pair of pliers and chisel that lay on the floor next to the capsule.
The bastard opened it, Stone said. Stupid son of a bitch.
How was he to know?
He might have asked somebody, Stone said. He bent over the satellite and closed the gaping triangular hatch. Burton leaned over the body.
Come on, he said to Stone. Help me.
Do what?
Strip him down.
Why?
I want to check the lividity.
There was no dependent lividity. Normally, after a person died, blood seeped to the lowest points, drawn down by gravity. A person who died in bed had a purple back from accumulated blood. But Benedict, who had died sitting up, had no blood in the tissue of his buttocks or thighs, or in his elbows, which had rested on the arms of the chair. Holding the scalpel carefully, Burton drew the blade along the skin of the inner wrist, just behind the thumb. The skin pulled back from the wound, which was completely bloodless. He exposed fat and subcutaneous tissue. There was no bleeding.
Amazing.
He cut deeper. There was still no bleeding from the incision. Suddenly, abruptly, he struck a vessel. Crumbling red-black material fell out onto the floor.
I'll be damned, Stone said.
Clotted solid, Burton said.
Incredible.
They began to search the other houses in town. One contained a man, his wife, and their young daughter, all sitting around the dinner table. They had apparently been relaxed and happy, and none of them had time to...